So welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing fantastic today. Laura, how are you?
Is that our opening every time now?
I think it is. We're going to have to patent it because that's our opening now.
Yeah. But I've been okay. Weather's getting nicer. I've been a little busy making decorations for my sister's bridal shower. And also, I do want to say, too, I'm constantly fighting with audio and trying to learn new things. And I do need to give a big shout out to my friend, Nomar Slavik, who is just constantly putting up with me, nagging him, asking him audio questions, and just so kind and is always there willing to help me. And if you guys have not heard of him or not heard of his podcast, go check out I Want to Believe podcast. It's pretty darn good. So that's all I have to say for today.
Well, I'm glad that you are fixing our audio issues because you're way better at it than I am. I sit here and record, chit chat. I bring technical knowledge.
Yeah. It's I'm someone that does not really like computers. And I get frustrated. I'd rather do things with my hands and be outside. So this can be quite challenging, but I really am trying very, very hard to learn. And every time we do an episode, I do learn a little bit more. So hopefully one day I'll have it down.
Oh, we're getting to that point. We're not bad at all.
No, it's not horrible.
No. And the one other thing I have been dealing with just a little bit is my French bulldog has a infection. So I had to rush him to the vet Sunday morning, which is not fun, but he's going to be just fine, taking some antibiotics, and he'll be, you know, hopefully we can post some pictures of him because he's a cute boy. What can I say? I love my little Frenchie.
He is very cute, and both of us have our dogs literally right behind us.
Yes.
Sleeping. So who knows? There might be some snoring in there.
But you might get a little Frenchie snore, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Our topic this week is going to be hitchhiker ghost stories, and I will be providing one from Tennessee that I found, and then I also found another, like a collection of stories that two researchers did back in the middle 1940s. I think it was 1942, 1943. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And what do you have this week, Laura?
So what made me decide that I wanted to do this topic was because, you know, Aaron and I we take turns choosing topics back and forth and whatever. So what made me decide to want to do this topic was a lot of the times I will listen to old Coast to Coast Art Bell episodes and I put that stuff on to fall asleep to. And I woke up in the middle of the night one night and I think it was a Ghost to Ghost episode I was listening to and a caller had said that he had a vanishing hitchhiker out in the state of Oregon. And I can't even remember the details because I was half asleep. It was probably like 3 in the morning when I heard it. And then I kind of jumped on my phone and I'm looking at all these hitchhiker stories and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be a great topic. So I dug into that a little bit. And when I first typed in hitchhiker, it started to, like, I found some links that were saying how hitchhiking is not really a thing anymore. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's not. And I'm wondering, you know, why did that stop? Because it used to be so popular. And I had dug into that. And then I also dug into pretty much one of the most famous hitchhiking stories that there is. So that's what I have.
That's the story of in Chicago?
Yep.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yes. I saw that one when I was going through some links and whatnot. So I'm interested to hear the rest of that one.
Yeah, and I'm sure quite a lot of people already know that one, but there's just something about it that's just so haunting to me that it's kind of one of my favorite ghost stories.
Excellent. I do like favorite ghost stories.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I guess I should get into the beginning here, and I'll go first.
Yeah, for sure. Let's hear it.
Okay, so what I have here is that Basically, what they're saying is that hitchhiking is a lot rarer today because since the 1960s, more people started owning their own cars, which totally makes sense. And then around that time, there were interstate highway systems being built, which made traveling much more direct, much quicker, and also stopped cars from taking those back roads. So now there's less people walking on the road. There's states that the laws do not allow pedestrians from walking alongside the interstate. And some states, hitchhiking, period, is illegal. So around the 1960s and 70s, they were starting to pass these laws against it with local and federal laws. And they were using scare tactics to stop people from picking up hitchhikers. And I found this old poster, which I thought was pretty neat, and it's from 1973, and it's a poster from the FBI that says, "Death in disguise?" question mark, and it reads, "To the American motorist, don't pick up trouble. Is he a happy vacationer or an escaping criminal, a pleasant companion, or a sex maniac?" Which, that made me chuckle a little bit because it's like, this is so ridiculous. But anyways, and it also says, "A friendly traveler or a vicious murderer. In the gamble with hitchhikers, your safety and the lives of your loved ones are at stake. Don't take the risk." And then at the very bottom of the poster, it's signed by the director of the FBI. And the poster, which I will link in the show notes, shows this attractive looking man who's dressed in a suit and he's hitchhiking a ride to this group of like friendly people in a car, and it shows them kind of unsuspecting, and it kind of gives you the feeling that this person, maybe there's something a little more sinister going on in this guy's mind when you pick him up. And also there's kind of like a watermark on top of the picture where it shows a skull face indicating danger. And I also was looking at this website, and it's kind of, maybe I'm wrong, but it gave me the impression that it's trying to say that hitchhiking really isn't that dangerous, and it's really not known for that many crimes. But I don't know why you would even say that, because you never know. That's just like walking up to a stranger and saying, "Hey, get in my car," and just, you're taking a massive risk. So it only makes sense that hitchhiking really isn't even a thing anymore.
That's super interesting. I've never really heard of like anti-hitchhiking laws, but I kind of understand where they're coming from, where, you know, if you're traveling down the interstate doing 70 miles an hour, you don't really want to have to worry about pedestrians walking on the side of the road while you're going that fast, because, you know, they cause a danger, you know, to themselves and to the people driving down there. So I understand that. It's interesting to me, like, the FBI would put that out. Like, and it makes me wonder if, like, during the 70s, when that poster came out, if there was, like, a bunch of serial killers, like, around that time, you know, just as a general thing. Because, you know, there were plenty of serial killers during the 70s. You had Charles Manson. Well, Jeffrey Dahmer would have been a little bit later. But there was another one whose name escapes me at the moment.
Ted Bundy?
And some of those people...
Was that Bundy? 70s? Maybe? I'm not really sure.
Maybe. I'm not really sure either. But you know, in my head, it just seems like, you know, the FBI putting that out, there had been a reason why they put it out, right? It's not just like, just random, "Oh, hey, don't do this." But, you know, it makes me wonder if there was a serial killer or something preying on
hitchhikers. I mean, well, wait a minute, though. Wasn't it Ted Bundy who would pick up hitchhikers or somebody? And I mean, I've also heard of, I listened to a podcast. It was by Payne Lindsay, who does Up and Vanished. He also has another podcast called Atlanta Monster. And I believe there was this guy who would drive around, I think it was in the 70s, maybe early 80s, picking up younger boys. And I don't know if he'd rape them or make them do things, and then he would murder them and dump their bodies. So it definitely, you know, could relate to some kind of serial killer stuff. So.
Yeah, but it's just kind of interesting that, you know, the FBI would go so far as to say, hey, you know, don't hitchhike. Because I feel like, you know, back 50s, 60s, even the 70s, you know, the hitchhiking to me seemed like it was much more common. Like today in 2023, I can't say that I know anybody that's picked up a hitchhiker. I don't even think I saw a hitchhiker, you know, even on or the side roads around here. I don't think I have, to be fair.
And, you know, I always feel bad because my heart wants to help people, but you just don't ever know.
Yeah. With you being a female, you know, it's that much more dangerous or potentially dangerous than, say, if I pick somebody up. Yeah. I don't even think I would. And I'm a 6 foot tall white male. But I probably wouldn't. I mean, unless there was something that, you know, you could see their car was broke down on the side of the road. Or somebody, that maybe it was a smaller female. Or, you know, somebody who wouldn't present a direct threat. Then maybe. But even then, I mean, everybody has cell phones today.
Exactly.
They could have somebody to call.
And even, I mean, you see the horror movies, which I don't really watch horror movies. But there's those movies. And there's also those people out there that, you know, they bring females along and they use them as the bait because females are less assuming. And I've heard stories where people will pick somebody up or they'll end up murdering somebody and they bring their wife and their small infant child to make the people feel more comfortable. How messed up is that?
Yeah, I've heard that story. It's a weird world out there, that's for sure.
It's very messed up. But anyways, enough of my rambling. I'm going to get into story of Resurrection Mary. Now, she's one of the most popular vanishing hitchhiker stories. And I remember a couple years ago, I first heard this story back on Astonishing Legends podcast, which is very popular. And they went into depth about this whole story, which I thought was really neat. And she was a young woman who, so now the details are a little bit different depending on where you look. When I was researching this case, I was thinking that I remembered seeing this on Unsolved Mysteries when I was a kid.
That's one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
Yeah, it just struck me as, oh, didn't I see that on there? So I went on YouTube and typed it up and, you know, there you go. It popped up and it was a story. And it's still, I watched it and it still gave me chills and creeped me the hell out. The same exact way it did when I was a kid. Like, I was so just spooked out after I watched that episode that I put on a podcast that had nothing to do with paranormal because I'm like, I have to go to bed. But it's just amazing that how many years later and it still gives you the same feeling.
No matter, you know, how many years go by, it's still the same story. You know, still got the same spookiness behind it, whether it was told in 1980 or 2020.
Mm-hmm. So they had said that it was about a month before Mary's 21st birthday, and she went to the O. Henry Ballroom in Willow Springs, Illinois. And there's kind of a little confliction around if it happened in 1920, but then on Unsolved Mysteries said it happened in 1934. So she went to this ballroom and she went dancing with her boyfriend and they had gotten into a fight. And she left and decided to walk home in the rain. So on her walk home, someone had hit her and left her to die on the side of the road. And apparently, I don't know as of today, but from what I saw, that this person had never been caught, which is just terrible. I don't know how you could even do that. So they left her to die on the side of the road. And where she passed away was between this ballroom and Resurrection Cemetery on Archer Avenue. Since then, there's been all these sightings of her. And they say that she's always seen at night. She's always wearing a white gown. And that just goes back to what we have been talking about, all these women seen in white. So in 1939, there was a guy named Jerry Paulus who was probably one of the first people who reported seeing Mary. He was at a dance hall in the south side of the area, and he was at this dance hall and he saw a blonde woman, and he went up to her and asked her to dance. And she said yes, and they danced together, and he felt that something wasn't right. He felt that her hands were extremely cold, and he had made the statement, quote, "cold hands, but a warm heart," end quote. They shared a kiss, and at the end of the night, he offered to take her home, and she had told him that she lived on Damon Avenue, which was the south side of town, but when they got in the car, she had asked him to take her to Archer Avenue, and she asked him to stop right in front of Resurrection Cemetery, and he was confused by this. She got out of the car, and she vanished. The very next day, Jerry goes to Damon Avenue, where Mary had told him that she lived, and he goes up to the door, and it says that the door opens before he even knocks on the door, and it's Mary's mother. He asks for her, and she says that's not possible, that she's been dead for 5 years. And I also saw on another source that it was that she was dead for 3 years. So, I mean, the details change a little bit, but the story is basically the same. As years went past, Jerry ended up speaking to a local historian named Richard Crow, and Richard repeats a quote that Jerry had said, quote, "It's then Jerry said that he understood why the woman he was dancing with that night was ice cold to the touch. He had worked in a funeral home for a while, and it was the touch of a corpse."
Ooh.
Yeah. And so there's other sightings of this woman, too. I am going to link the Unsolved Mysteries link in the show notes so that you guys can watch this episode, and it recounts these other people that had these sightings. And there was one sighting where a witness was driving down Archer Avenue with someone in the car. I don't know if it was a friend or a daughter, and Mary had run out in front of her car right in front of the cemetery, and the woman had braked her car thinking that she's going to hit this pedestrian, slams on the brakes, and there's no impact, no nothing, and Mary vanishes. Then there's another one that really creeped me out, and I feel like this is something that I remember from seeing as a kid, that there was a car full of people, there was, I think, friends in the back seat, a husband and wife in the front seat, and they're driving down Archer Avenue, and they see this glowing figure of a woman in white, and as they drive past, they're, you know, they're turning their heads and looking, and they see the woman's face blacked out, which just creeps me the hell out.
Oh, yes. That's so weird that they would remember the blacked out face.
And you hear a lot of stories like that, too, where, you know, the face is missing. And I wonder what that is. Is there not enough energy to make the face visible, or is it has something to do with the sorrowness of the soul not being able to produce the face to be visible? Or I don't know what that is, but those stories really creep me out. I've also heard a story where someone saw Bigfoot and said that the Bigfoot's face was just like this blacker than black void, which is so creepy to me.
Yeah, it's like something's, you know, trying to draw something, but there's not enough information. And, you know, faces are probably one of the most important features of a person, because that's how we communicate with the world. And for not to draw the face, but draw everything else, you know, the dress, the feet, the hands, the arms, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the woman was saying that she never wants to see Mary again. It scared her so bad. And her husband at the time was wanting to go back and turn around and see if they could drive past her again to see more of her. But there's other reports of cab drivers driving past this area, and Mary is hitchhiking for a ride, and they pick her up and just drive her shortly down the road and drop her off, and she vanishes in the backseat of the car before you even hear the door open and close, which is super spooky too.
I mean, could you just put yourself in those shoes for a second? You know, it's 1940 or 1950 mm-hmm. even. you're driving down the road in Chicago, which I'm assuming Archer Avenue is probably, you know, in the greater city of Chicago. It's not on the suburbs. I don't know that, but that's my assumption. And you see a woman in white standing on the side of the road. You let her in the car, or she gets in the car. I mean, she would probably have to get in the car, which means she had to open a door to get in the car. Let's say in the back seat, you ask her where she wants to go, and she points, you know, down, you know, like she wants to go that direction. And then you look back, and there is nothing there. Like, myself, like, I would start questioning my own sanity. Did this really happen? Did I not get enough sleep? That would just be so spooky.
Yeah, I would feel the same way, I think.
Yeah, it would really make me question things, like a lot of things, because, you know, that's so far outside of a normal occurrence, you know, especially for somebody to open a car door. You know, that's a physical manifestation of something, and then just poof.
I know, it's and the story is so tragic, too. I've also heard versions of the story where, you know, she's out at a dance and these guys danced with her and they were kind of arguing over her because they both were interested in her. And then they go to her house where she said that she's lived and the house is dilapidated and clearly nobody has lived there for years and years. And one of the guys gave her his jacket to wear because she was cold. And somehow, I guess they went back to the cemetery, or the cemetery was near her house, and they found their jacket laying on her gravestone. Stories, oh, wow. Like, yeah, stories like that. There's also this other story that is about this girl named Lydia, and I think it was in North or South Carolina. And it's a very similar story to Mary, but she had, I don't remember, she's a hitchhiker. She got picked up and she got killed in the accident or something, and says that she's in a white dress and still haunts the area. And they had tied the jacket thing into that too. So it's kind of a whole mix of these stories. But I mean, this one seems so legit because there's been so many witnesses throughout the years. I don't see how this could be the folklore, the old tales, but this just seems that there's so much to back it up. So I think that's also what makes it one of my favorite stories.
Right. Yeah.
I hope one day she finds rest, though. And I just always get so sad when I hear these stories that seem to be intelligent hauntings that they're just stuck in this time loop and not resting.
Like the worst version of Groundhog's Day ever. Like, you just do it over and over and over. And
yeah. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I like that one. I think the other part that gets me, too, is it's like in a big city. It's not like in a, you know, a little one-horse town, per se. You know, it's something that's in a major metropolitan center. I mean, I'm assuming Archer Avenue would have to be in the middle of Chicago.
So I didn't look it up, which I should have, because I was questioning that also, where it said that the town that this dance hall was in was Willow Springs, Illinois. But it also says, they make reference to the south side of town and says in Chicago when you go to look it up.
So I had to go look it up just because I wanted to see. And it is located kind of on it is the south side of Chicago, and it's kind of on the outskirts. It really is. Like, there's a lot of nature preserves right around right around Archer Avenue. So yeah, it's still Chicago. But it is kind of a little bit on the outskirts of Chicago, to be fair. It looks like there's a bunch of rivers that run through there and country clubs, and there's two nature preserves. So it does look kind of like it's more on a more rural area than I initially thought.
Yeah, kind of like the suburbs.
Yeah, it is definitely the suburbs for sure. But still, I mean, Chicago is a very populous city. I mean, there's still a lot of people around that area for sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's super interesting. Thanks for sharing that one. I like that one a lot. It kind of, you know, resonates.
I wasn't going to do it because I'm like, everybody knows that story. But I don't know. There's just something about retelling ghost stories. And I don't know. I just like that one. So I decided to go with it. And it kind of, like I said, there's so many accounts of it. you know, it kind of gives credibility to the whole thing, to all of these encounters.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yep. So the story that I have, I got two of them. Actually, I had a bunch more, but I ran across something that I found super interesting. We'll get that one in just a second. But I always kind of like to bring a little local story when I do things, if I can find something local. And I was going through there and I found one that's located in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is in the Appalachian Mountains. Well, they call it the Smoky Mountains here, but it's in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. And they actually have kind of like a scenic driving route. And there was a hitchhiker back in the day. It didn't give a date, but the guy was riding a horse. So I would have to imagine that it was before cars became really popular. But it's a 5.5 mile scenic route in Gatlin, Tennessee. And you may encounter Lucy, who is a ghost roaming the park. The story goes like this. Lucy, who was a young woman who died when her family's cabin burned down. After she passed away, a man named Foster came across her, barefooted on the side of the road on a cold Tennessee winter night. He gave her a ride home on his horse that night because she was obviously in need. And after he dropped her off, he went home, but he couldn't really stop thinking about her. So he went back to where he dropped her off, which would have been her parents' house, and he asked if he could marry her. That's a little weird, but we'll get back to that in just a second. But so he went back to talk to her parents to ask her if he could marry her, and the parents were very surprised that Foster had asked because their only daughter had passed away in the fire a year before that and showed him the headstone of where she was buried. Now, this was kind of a short story, but you know, a couple things caught my eye when I was reading this. Number one, he picked up a ghost hitchhiker that rode on a horse with him. It didn't say how long, but could you imagine a ghost sitting behind you? You know, if you've ever rode a horse and you're riding two people on a horse, that's very close physical contact. I mean, very close. The person sitting right behind you or could be right in front of you. And the other thing was that Foster had asked to marry her. Like, he didn't know this woman. He picked her up on the side of the road, dropped her off, and immediately wanted to marry her. I know it was a long time ago, but that still struck me as very strange.
Makes me wonder if whatever kind of energy she was presenting was so strong that it was so alluring to this guy, or just so, I don't know what the word is.
Something he couldn't resist.
Yeah.
You know, that it was so powerful. And I can't imagine having a ghost sit so close to you and you don't notice that there's something off. Like whether it's cold or just an eerie feeling. You know, something along those lines.
I know. And I've ridden horses half of my life. I don't ride them anymore because I've fallen off way too many times and gotten really hurt many times. So I gave that up. And I can't imagine sitting on a horse with a ghost and not feeling something from them.
So we used to own horses when I was younger. So I've rode plenty of horses. And here's another point to that is, you know, horses are very observant.
Yes, right. Right. And
for the horse not to, you know, freak out with something like that riding it, that kind of struck me as interesting.
I'm very glad you brought that point up because if you are not familiar with horses, you don't know this, but they are very, I mean, as far as all animals go, but they, horses, I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't ride horses anymore, because my instinct when I get on a horse is to panic because I'm afraid I'm going to fall, I'm going to get hurt, and I don't mean to do that, but the horse picks that up. The horse senses that. So they know that I'm nervous, and my nervous energy makes that horse nervous also.
Yep. I completely agree with that. The horse really picks up on its rider's feelings or, you know, just general state of mind. You know, if you're super nervous, it makes them a little nervous. But if you're confident, you just hop on there and you know, do your thing. But yeah, that struck me as very weird. You know, so you got the horse not reacting to the ghost. You got the guy that wants to marry her after meeting her one time, and he didn't notice that she was a ghost to begin with. So I didn't quite find any other hitchhiker stories that were like that one from Gatlinburg. So I'm glad I got to share that one for sure.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. And in my last one that I have, so like I said, I had a whole list of different ones that I, you know, came across, but then I came across this one. It is a couple of folklore collectors, and they collected hitchhiking stories, and they published this. It was published back in, I think, 1943, I believe. And so I got to reading through it, and it's really, really interesting. So it was two people. It was Richard Beardsley and Rosaline Hankey, and they collected, I believe it was like 72 different hitchhiking stories, and they made an attempt to analyze them, and I found it super interesting. So they basically took these 70 stories, and they found that they roughly fell in four different categories. The four categories, that they just call it version A, B, C, and D, and they give like a little, what would be a good word for it? Like a good...
synopsis?
Yeah, kind of like a synopsis, but they do it in story form, where they say, all right, this is version A, and they give a story, so that story is kind of that version, and then they do version B. And I just wanted to share the four versions.
Yeah.
As because, you know, that's how they classify each one. So the first one was in Berkeley, California. It was a young man was riding along a street in Berkeley in his car. It was very late. On a street corner, he noticed a well-dressed young woman, and he asked if he could help to get her home, and she entered the back of the car. She gave him her address, and when he arrived at the address, he was amazed to find that she had disappeared. After a vain search, he decided to question the occupants of the house. A young man answered his ring. He told his story and described the strange young woman. The man who had answered the doorbell became terrified and said that description fitted his fiancée, who had been killed in an automobile accident exactly at the corner where she had been picked up. The narrator added the man who told her the story really believed it. So that's version A. So that's, you know, one particular story that fits a lot of them, where somebody's picked somebody up in a corner, try to take them home, come to find out the person had passed away, you know, years ago or even months ago in some stories.
Very similar to Resurrection Mary.
Right, right. So we'll go into version B. Version B is, this was in Ringsted, Iowa. A newly married couple were on their honeymoon and were returning in late July from a visit to the World's Fair in Chicago. The last day they were on the road was very stormy, and driving slowly, they saw an old woman on the side of the road hailing a ride. They picked her up, and during a brief introduction, learned that she was from Ringsted, Iowa. She told them not to go to the fair after September 1st, for the Enchanted Island was going to sink into the lake. Silence followed, and when the young wife looked around to talk with the old woman, the woman was gone. The couple was puzzled and decided to go to Ringsted to investigate their passenger. They stopped at the place where the old woman said she had lived, but the persons living there at the time informed them that the woman had lived there, but she had passed away a year ago. The couple described the old woman, and the residents of the Ringsted home said that those clothes were identical to the ones that the old woman had been buried, and it was exactly 1 year to the date the old woman had died. And I just want to add that when I read this, I went and looked, and the Enchanted Island did sink into the lake. I believe it was like the middle of September. So this is kind of a story where the hitchhiker gave some information to the people picking them up. And that's another common theme through some of these. Another one I read that was similar to this was when Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington State back in the, I believe it was the September of 1980 or maybe October of 1980, where a couple had picked up a hitchhiker and they said, you know, you need to get away from here. The mountain's going to erupt. You know, if you stay here, you're going to die. And the ghost vanishes from that car. So this is another common theme on some of these. Version C. This would have been Salt Lake City. At a Christmas dance, a certain young man was attracted by a beautiful young girl dressed in white. She was a stranger in the hall, but he soon made her acquaintance and danced with her during the evening. At the close of the dance, he asked her to take her home. When they left the hall, the girl had no coat, so the young man offered her his overcoat, which she wore. They got in a car with another couple, and on the way to the address which she had given as her home, she asked to stop at the cemetery for a minute. She insisted on getting out alone, but promised not to be long. She didn't return to the car, and after efforts to find her failed, they left the cemetery. The following day, the young man went to her home address to get his overcoat. The woman who answered the door said no one by that name lived there, but there was a family by that name that lived there some years ago. The girl he was inquiring about had been dead many years. The young man then went to the cemetery. He found a grave marker, or a grave with a marker bearing her name and age, which she was 18 years old, at death. Folded neatly upon the headstone was his overcoat. Which kind of ties back into the story that you told earlier. So that's another one of those common themes in these particular hitchhiking stories. And the last one is from Hawaii. This one was told by a native Hawaiian who was a Yale graduate, and he's telling it as a true story. A friend of his was driving along a highway, climbing the slopes of one of the volcanoes of the islands of Hawaii. He saw an old woman walking along the road, carrying a basket, and offered her a ride. She got into the backseat of his two-door sedan, and when he reached the summit, he turned around to look for her, but she had disappeared. She was Pili, who is known by a fact that she was always carrying something.
So that is the god of Pele, I think, is how you pronounce it. That's a very common story in Hawaiian folklore. And it goes that if you see her and you show her kindness, she will, I think, protect you from something or help you with something. But if you do not help her, then something bad will happen.
Oh, that's interesting. It didn't really clear it up. The collection that I was reading, it didn't say that. I'd never heard that before. So yeah, that's super right. Interesting. But I really like this this collection that was done in the 40s because they really try to analyze, you know, how these stories come about and some of the similarities and the differences of them. I'm going to link it in the show notes. So anybody that's interested, it's about 30 pages long and it's in PDF form. It's free for anybody to read. And it's really, really, if you're interested in hitchhiker ghost stories, they really break it down to, like, you know, how similar they are, how different they are. And you're interested, please, please take the time to read it.
I really like that you found that. It makes me wonder how many of those stories are a combination of true stories and have become folklore.
Yeah. Because if they found 70 stories, and once again, this was back in the 40s when they were collecting these stories.
Yeah.
And they, how many similarities they all kind of have to, you know, these four versions that we talked about.
And, you know, that gives it a little more credence too, because back in the 40s, there wasn't the internet where you could post all these stories and find these things and then go off of them and make these things up. Things were basically
right.
Word of mouth. And yeah, stories can get changed a little bit through word of mouth, but not all these people are going to report these fake stories because where are they going to get these ideas from? Certainly not the internet.
Yeah. Nope, not the internet. And there, you know, to be fair, there was cross-country travel then, absolutely. And there but it wasn't like it is today. Like, you know, they just didn't hop in the car and drive to California because, I mean, you just didn't do that back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's super. I found that article was probably one of the more interesting ones that I read overall. I mean, these two researchers or two folklorists, I think they call them, they did a really excellent job on, you know, breaking these stories down and kind of trying to get to the root cause of it. Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, I really like this. Every week I walk away from something learning something else, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, no, 100%. I've learned, you know, that the FBI warned against hitchhikers, which I had no idea about that. And I also learned, you know, that there are people out there that collect these stories, and they really do a good job of analyzing these stories. I mean, even though this collection was from 80 years ago, 1940, 60. Yeah, I mean, basically 80 years ago, a lot of these stories still resonate today, even though they're that old.
Yeah, they were really putting in the work because, you know, you had to physically go find these stories, not just...
And go talk to people. And yeah, it made it a lot more in-depth, I think, than just us sitting here with Google.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I want to add just one other thing. In this particular collection, there were a couple things that they pointed out as vanishing hitchhikers, in their experience, is without exception, always females. Which, through all the stories I read, I didn't see one that was a male, which I thought was kind of interesting. And they also say that the hitchhikers are almost always good looking, or as they use, beautiful. You don't see old women normally. There are exceptions to that rule, as for the Pele that in the version D's. So I found that kind of interesting as well.
I also think with Pele, she is this beautiful, I think she controls something with the eruption of volcanoes in Hawaii, but she really is this beautiful spirit or whatever you want to call her. But she presents herself as this rugged old woman. So that kind of just goes along with adding kindness to some haggard old looking woman, you know.
Right, right, right. And there was, I keep saying one more point, but I forgot about this, is that, you know, me and you have talked a lot about how most ghosts, what they're wearing is almost always black and white or no color at all. And that was one of the things that they found in these 70 stories they collected, was the dress is never colored. It will always be black or white.
Yeah.
A reoccurring theme, I think.
Yeah. It's just, it's fascinating. Just adds to it for me anyways.
For sure. Yep. 100%.
All right. So I think we are at that point where we are going to wrap this up. And yeah.
Just again to reiterate, I enjoy doing this. The learning portion of this is just, it really makes my week.
Mm-hmm. Me too. For sure. So I'll wrap it up. We'll do the normal, you know, our links are going to be in the show notes. Send us an email. Link's going to be in the show notes also. midnight_@yahoo.com. Oh, no, wait. I messed that up.
Nope.
Send us an email at midnight_inthemountains@yahoo.com. Find us on Instagram. And we will talk to you guys next time.
All right. Everybody have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you soon.